Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. What's the matter?
I'm just trying to see if someone called. We had a beep.
Oh.
I didn't know whether it was the...
I don't know. But anyway, let's not go into that. Tonight, we've got George Dixon joining us. And we're going to be talking about the usual that we talk about with George. The Mayan calendar and the, but he's talking about the ninth wave, and that ninth wave is the, well, he's going to get into it a little more, but it's the beginning of the end, basically. And it's rather fascinating.
We were talking about some things the other night. Is he going to pick up on that?
That's what he's going to pick up on, yeah.
So I'm hoping. Do you want to refresh the listeners on what he was talking about?
Yeah. Well, we had a call in
on that night.
Yeah. I believe his name was Dave.
Dave.
Yeah. And
he was speaking about the keys of Enoch.
But he was also going, involved with the discussion we were talking about. But. More so, I think George was involved, was talking mostly about. I don't know why George isn't calling in yet.
Is he aware that he's on tonight?
I talked to him just half an hour ago.
Maybe he's a little late on it, but that's all right.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we can talk a little bit about.
He's all right.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just came on.
There you go, George. Okay.
I was just going to go to some things on the Mayan calendar just in case.
Hey, George.
Hello. Oh, hi, Leo. Hi, Lila.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. It's funny. I'm saying hello and I'm saying goodbye and saying hello again. And
I know. Isn't it?
It's been a roller coaster.
Well, that's what life is. Life is a bit of a roller coaster, don't you think?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It gives a character.
This is a good door that's open for us, so I'm hoping we can make the most of it. And
I don't know.
Leo, why don't you explain to our audience out there, whoever's listening, exactly what we're talking about?
Oh, that's a good point, George.
And this because. I know it was kind of confusing because I had some friends who listened to last show, and as being the last one, and they were kind of surprised when I sent them an email say, "Hey, we're back on tonight." And I had to explain myself. Maybe you can explain, Leo.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. But it was a matter of priority as far as this blog talk format because. They wanted me to go premium in order to get the one-hour format or two-hour format that I had. And, that involves a cost to me to do that. And I was a little perturbed since we've been on for over four years and have,
brought them a lot of listeners.
Brought them, over 80,000 listeners, that we would have to be forced to go that route. Or be put down into a half-hour format during the daytime, losing our spot. So it was a little bit of a plus. I was coming out of a funk there where I was sick for about a month, I had a it bothered me, and then losing the Q103 show just bothered me more.
For those of you who don't know, the Q103 show was a FM radio show that we had out of Lakeville, Connecticut. And what happened was the frequency was sold to NPR. So everyone at that station, not just us, lost their jobs.
And lost their shows.
And lost their shows. And it was very sudden.
Yeah, and we recorded, we broadcasted our last show on February 1st. And played it on replayed it on a blog talk here
on Wednesday night,
February 2nd.
Which you normally do every week, anyways.
Well, yeah, but it happens. We usually don't play the two-hour format. We just do the one-hour. We just replayed the interviews. But this week we played the entire program, so it was a two-hour show. And had all our guests. We had 10 guests on, and George, you were one of them. But the key to, you know, it was a matter of, I don't know, it just was a matter of, I didn't expect that to happen. And since that was the flagship, our flagship program, it was a little bit, it came all of a sudden that, you know, that...
We had no notice, but neither did anyone else.
Yeah, we only had a couple of days' notice
that
it was
the way people were informed is that it was published in the paper.
And then I only had till February 1st to make the decision to go as a premium host, so on Blog Talk, and so everything just came at one time, and I found myself kind of in a quandary and decided to go this route. And I was really reluctant to give up what we had, the format that we had, and I was reluctant to give up our Friday night show because it made we have so many listeners to that program so I decided to put it back on. And we're going to be on Tuesday nights. We're on for a two-hour program. We're going to be redoing our...
It's the same format as our Q103 show that we had in Lakeville.
Right,
and basically what it is news, and we have regular guests. We have In the Ring with Woody, which is a sports segment. That comes on at 9 o'clock from 9 to 9:15. And at 9:30 we have our regular guest, John Brennan, and he talks about chemtrails and environmental issues. And then we have revolving guests on at 8:30. From 8:30 to 9 is usually our special guest.
There's journalists.
Bloggers,
yeah.
People that are into things, and they don't get very much attention from the mainstream media, but we try to bring out their issues.
But they have a lot of issues and a lot of news that is very important to bring out. So that's our format.
If I could add my two cents, I think. It's
sure.
Because years ago, I have done radio, for 25, 30 years. I started back out in the 70s. But you folks had me on because of our mutual dear friend Bill Marshall.
That's
who,
right.
Who was one of my teachers in the metaphysical realms dealing with astrology and cosmobiology. So I was introduced to you folks. And then we start talking about some of the interesting subjects that I've been studying, dealing
right.
with extraterrestrial relationships we have with off-planet aliens. And I think something was born of that. And what it was, I don't know, Leo. What do you think, Lila?
Well, we all were very fond of Bill. And then when we met you and Maria, we just all immediately bonded. It was just, it was like we had always known you. It wasn't a matter of getting to know you and Maria. It was like we already knew you. That's the way I felt. I felt like, well, you'd always been there. It was very odd kind of thing, but normal. It felt natural, though other people would call it odd. I found it very normal and natural. Just kind of float along like a river, I don't know. How did you feel?
Well, to be truthful, when I first met you,
mm-hmm.
I gave up this business altogether, and I was retired, and I was doing my own research on my own little projects. One of them was of researching giants, and... Really, with Bill, it like brought me back into the radio industry because I used to do radio in Connecticut down in Bridgeport, I think, with ICC. And, so I put that behind me years ago, but you folks woke that up again. And, since then, I've been on and off, plus the last 4 years, Leo, you mentioned, we've been doing the Friday night shows.
Right.
But, you know, it's funny because last week was our last show, and this is my mindset. And, you know, I think for the first half hour after Leo told me about the situation with Blog Talk, that, you know,
right.
I accepted in a sense, well, you know, all things must come to an end. And I
right.
do believe that. So, you know, it's a matter of closing off this part of my life, or this part of my life, let's say, with radio. And originally it was only an 18-week gig that I committed myself to, but to be truthful or openly, no, this is what happened. One thing led to another, and over 4 years later, here we are. But, you know,
that was a 18-week gig.
But, you know, the problem that you have with radio and television the same way is, but radio, I think even more so, because it's a little more free-flowing. Is that you get kind of addicted to doing it. You know, you get to be able to have a voice to express yourself, especially if you're an activist or if you have strong feelings towards some issue or area that, and then you find out that there are so many places, so many people that are seeking the information that you actually have,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's rewarding. In itself, to know that people are responding to what you're putting out there, and then once you see that, I mean, in our case, we've had almost 80,000 listeners over the last few years, and I mean that's a lot of people, you know, that have enjoyed our programming, and they're still coming back, and you know we're getting nearly 1,000 people a week to listen to our programs, which is, you know, considerably a lot of people, you know, every week, or in some cases, you know, 300-400 in a day, which is, you know, I mean, we got thousands by, you know, on our Tuesday night show, thousands and thousands of people, but because it was a strong radio signal, and people
and it was
picking
a strongly
up their cars
listened
and,
to
and
station
and highly listened to station, but. But on this one, it took, you know, in 5 years' time, it took quite a while to develop that audience, and, you know, and we finally have, and we're very happy. And so we didn't want to jeopardize that. And we have a caller, another caller, George. I don't know if you invited somebody else on.
Well, I made a few calls. Let's see who's on.
972. Hello, caller.
Hey, George, this is Rod down here in Dallas.
Well,
hey.
How are you doing, Rod? Rod is an old friend of mine from the island, and we go back and watched our children grow together. And good to hear from you, Rod.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of extra time right now, what with slick roads and everything for the Super Bowl.
Well, maybe you can explain to Leo, you know, what you guys have been up against. I talked with him a little bit ago, and he was telling me about the ice problems down there. You know, around the Super Bowl game area.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's happening is what the weatherman says can't happen, never happened before. And as Mr. Spock would say, is very, very fascinating. But a half inch of ice in Dallas is like 5 feet of snow up there where y'all are. And it's crippled the city.
Really?
And to make matters worse, Texas deregulated its electricity here a couple years ago.
Oh, dear.
And they sold all their electricity to people who needed it, since we don't use that much electricity. So now they may not have the lights on in the Super Bowl. We got rolling blackouts.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
People losing their heat and electric for up to 7 hours at a time.
Oh, man.
It's pretty interesting. And there's plenty of electricity. The problem is that the corporations have sold it all to surrounding states who knew they needed it. But we didn't know we needed it in Dallas.
So
what do you think
the
it would take, Rod, for that to work itself out?
It's not due to the storm. This is an event that occurs anyway.
Well, yeah, but I think because of the storm itself or the weather, you know, we can't predict... We can't predict like somebody in Wall Street would do it, you know, for profit and loss. What would you suggest we could do on this? Have somebody take over the power companies?
Well, the storm increased the demand for power. The problem is the power is generated and paid for by the people here, but it's already been sold by the deregulated corporation to somebody else, so they get it first.
That's a very sad state of affairs, and your elected representatives probably had to approve of that.
Well,
you were sold out by your politicians.
We deregulated right after California did, just before Enron went bust, you know.
That's what happened here in Connecticut. We pay the highest electric rates in the country.
Yep, and that we can be thankful for Enron and a corrupt bastard governor that we had, John Rowland.
And the Department of Public Utilities, which regulated
a bunch of crooked
bastards and a corrupt legislature.
But we had, but John Rowland served a year and a day in prison, all right? But they still got his appointees running the DPUC, which a bunch of freaking
people don't know what that is. It's the Department of Public Utilities,
which includes the rate increases and stuff like that. So
okay,
like,
guys, now listen. We could sit here all night and talk about politics, but I'm looking more at the weather and so forth, the ramifications we're experiencing on a whole, and it's really. It changed our way of thinking and our way of life, and it's only started now.
Well,
you
know that, George, that they have used overtime weather as a weapon, and that means that they can control, the government can control the weather. If we're getting an excess of snow, rain, and freezing rain, that necessarily means, because everything is always a balance, that there's some part of the world that's getting no water. Have we heard anything about that, or are there any droughts anywhere?
Yeah, plenty of them.
That's something that's controlled, and it's trying to be regulated.
Yeah, there is an amazing factor I noticed on the news coverage. Well, with all this weather phenomena going on, there's no mention of climate change.
Oh, yeah. Well, Al Gore just stated that
it was cold because of global warming. How about that one?
It's cold and miserable because of the global warming, okay, because global warming causes more moisture in the atmosphere.
And causes cold weather. Explanation.
Yeah, he admitted that on O'Reilly. He actually said that on O'Reilly show. Fox News and O'Reilly called him a pinhead for it. But it makes absolutely no sense. And Gore is one huge thief anyway. I mean, he's the head of this hedge fund, that was going to sell cap and trade,
futures on the carbon thing.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable crap.
No, he's just a thief.
And to believe this year that we are actually in a state of global warming, okay, is an absurdity. Okay, in the last many years, last quite a few years, and in fact,
if I can just stop things for a minute.
Period of global freezing.
And we certainly are having weather extremes. There's no doubt about that.
Without a doubt. But you know what? We've experienced this before. We've come through it. Now, Leo, earlier you wanted me to talk about continuation on the Mayan calendar, and this all falls in, I think, with a Mayan understanding how things happen, how things work. And if I can't explain myself, we are going into the ninth wave. Now, I talked about this, that on March the 9th, we're going to be shifting gears a little bit more than what these gears have been turning lately, and it's going to speed things up. But, what it's speeding up on this level is not going to last long, because of this last level, the eighth wave, started in 1999, and it's ending on the March the 9th of this year. So that means between March the 9th and 2012, we'll be experiencing that wave or that experience. And what that is that's the unity consciousness that we've talked about. And right before the co-creation point where this is leading us to. So, you know, we've talked about unity consciousness, but if we go back for the last 3 years and look at the different years since 2006 to this year, we've gone through the different day and night cycles of the Mayan day and nights. And with these, certain things were brought out individually, being the polarity consciousness with the right brain, the left brain. And now what's happened is that we're coming out of the right brain into the unity consciousness, where we're combining the left brain and the right brain together. Now, let me back up just a little bit. The left brain experience, the male-dominating understanding, came into effect 3134 BC. And this basically was a cycle that ended. And we went into a period of right brain, the opposite brain. So we're just coming out of that, which started, I think one part of that movement was the women's lib movement, which was shifting the male dominance to the female dominance. And if nothing more, since 99, we have been on the way where it's a female dominance society, and it's going to be that way for a while now. But what's happening is that by March 9th, these understandings, both left brain, right brain, male, female, will meld together into a unity consciousness, where what we will be experiencing that for the second half of this year. And then from there, we change into the co-creation of consciousness. But I don't want to go any further other than what's going on right now. So a lot of things are coming together, and you take a look at what's going on over there in Egypt. I mean, by God, understand, this is one of the oldest civilizations that we can relate to. And it was the king is trying to be enthroned right now. And, you know, who are we to tell the king, get off and get out of your country? That's his people, his government, his way, and it must fall that way. And yet, in the meanwhile, everything is manipulated. In fact, if you take a look at the news, what news you do get, it's all fuzzy, and you're not really seeing, the true picture of what's going on. Yes, the computers are all knocked out. You can't get an internet, or you can't get a cell phone connection. But that we're seeing both sides all in once, and I'm just praying, that the outcome is going to be less costly than these things normally to take.
Well, it's going
to
be more
peaceful.
What do
you feel about that?
You have to recognize that we put millions of dollars into that country, George.
I know.
And
billions
of dollars, Leo.
$68 billion a year.
And, you know, we want bang for our bucks. So you can rest assured that we're behind this. And when they get somebody new, they'll think they'll have chosen them. But just like us,
we wound up choosing,
it'll be chosen for them.
We wound up choosing Barack Obama, thinking that there was some kind of change going on. And, because we couldn't stand George W. But, I mean, it turns out the guy's a creep. Like, George W. was a creep. I mean, he was placed that way. He was put in there. Zabrinsky put him in there, prepped him up for the last 20 years.
Got him ready and pushed him down the chute.
Yeah.
Your turn.
I'm very, very curious as to, I mean, even though I supported that whole thing because I couldn't stand McCain, I was overwhelmed at the birther thing. I'm still wondering if this guy still is legitimately is a legitimate American citizen. You know.
Well, that's a discussion
guy,
for another time.
But you know, these are the things these people are made. These people are created, and you know, pushed on the public and as leaders. And really, what they are is they're mannequins or puppets. Just
created people.
But Lila and Leo understand that now is a time where these manifestations or thoughts are manifesting themselves. I mean, you know, we can go looking at the big picture. Some people feel that this is the ending. Christ is going to come again. But understand that there's a lot of beliefs out there
that have been building for years and even thousands of years that have to manifest themselves. So, you know, if nothing else, the thought has to find home or has to, if nothing else, ground itself out, either with fact or with other means of doing it. But I'm just saying that these things have to be played out for what they are. And it's not our right to judge if they should or they shouldn't. They will. And that's
right.
Part of the consciousness.
Yeah, but it's the age of Aquarius is what we're merging into now. In 2012, we'll be full-blown Aquarians. So it's like,
that's right, but what do you do in the meanwhile about all the beliefs and everything that has been building up energy until now?
Matters. It's going to blow up, you know. It's like they're all going to go by the way.
It's going to blow up, Leo.
I mean, it's going to go the way it's going. It's just, it's got to destroy itself. You know, all of these despots. You have to crumble, because you can't have despotism and tyranny if you're going to go into a period of
I don't even think it's that fancy. The new despotism and tyranny is not with a dictator. They have huge unemployment over there, huge, and they also have a huge population of kids under 35. That's very volatile. You need to get control of that. They're all unemployed, and the way to get control of that is the way the American public has been controlled, and that's through financial manipulation. And that's what they'll do to people. They'll enslave them the way we're enslaved. You give people a little bit, and they don't revolt, and there's no revolution. But you've got to enslave them to the credit card or to the cell phone where you can...
Or to a mortgage.
You know, where you can take your money right off your cell phone. Just wait and see. That's what it will be. Like what they're doing in Haiti.
That's how you control
people.
You become debt slaves.
That's why they're getting rid of these old fogies. They don't need them anymore. They got Saddam Hussein was used by us. We got rid of him. And now we're toppling all these other people that we've propped up. We've propped up some of the most repressive regimes on this planet.
Yeah,
but
it makes you wonder. It really does. But I do have faith in humanity, and I believe the good will overcome any of this, a lot of this bad stuff that's out there. I think right now what we got to do is just get our heads straightened out and put priorities in motion here. What is important and what isn't important?
So what's your opinion? I forgot your name.
Caller 972, we don't remember your first name.
My name's Rod, and I wanted to interject something that was talked about when I was a young child. My grandfather used to talk about it a lot this time. And he talked about the veil of Maya being lifted, which is what George talks about when he talks about the new raising of consciousness.
Right.
These young kids are so out of control, they can't be taught, or maybe I should say programmed, by their parents, and they're disassociated from their grandparents now. So their influence is each other, and it may not be original thought, but it's certainly not controlled thought that they have, and I think they're going to help us with the solution.
I agree with that. And I feel strongly that what's happening is this is raw emotion, and I mean, if you look at some of those pictures that are coming out of Egypt, I mean, these guys are getting hit in the head, they're getting shot at, I mean, this is courage, and you're hearing these people saying we're going to stay here till we die, I was watching something there was a doctor who was patching up all these kids, and he says, look, I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere, and I'll be here till I die, to see Mubarak go under. He wants that regime closed, and
well,
he wants to win
80,
this protest.
The guy's 80 years old. He's run his court, and he didn't step down gracefully.
That's right.
So they had to push him out.
Basically, yeah.
And that's, well, a lot of these guys are close to that age. And as I said, they have huge populations of unemployed young people. That's extremely dangerous.
Really?
are civil ways to end things without having to make it a big crisis, even though you need a crisis to bring something to an end and start anew, because it doesn't go over nicely. So, you know, crisis is good for the health, but understand that, you know, it's through unity that we can ease those crises into something that we both can relate and harmonize with. When I say both, I'm talking about the environment and ourselves. And, you know, there's another way of dealing with of recycling instead of, oh, shit, I can't put paper out this week. Bottles and cans go out. And, you know, it's it becomes a fighting thing after a while. It's got to flow neatly. And, you know, there are other ways to deal with this. And I think this is what we're going to experience this year, along with, you know, meeting the atrocities of the world. And there are many, but I think Mother Nature has more in store for us than we can imagine.
I think Mother Nature is directly involved.
One thing I wanted to what's happening in Egypt, to me, when I've looked at some of these world problems, it's the same thing that's happened here. There's a problem, there's a reaction, and then there's the solution. And that's the...
Yeah, it's order out of chaos.
And
you know,
it's order out of chaos.
You're talking New World Order here.
And
I've got, there's a number, number 111 over here.
How that works into the Mayan calendar, I don't know, but
we have another caller, and I just want
evening,
to
evening, everybody, how are you?
Hi.
Hello.
And who are you?
Hi. I'm Christy. I'd like to say a special hello to George, my dear friend.
Hello. Hi, Christy. How you doing, dear? Great to hear from you.
Good. How are you?
Fine.
Listen, I've been listening to you guys. I think this is very interesting. I just... want to ask a question about personal responsibility. I certainly follow world events, and I think that they're very important, and I vote, and I do what I can. But, you know, I think isn't it a little difficult to kind of espouse on these things at a distance? And isn't it more important for each individual to do everything they can right in their own backyard in their immediate life?
I think that's important, but I also think – I don't think you can –
put blinders on.
You can't really put blinders on, like Lena said, on the world. And what we do, I mean, what we've been doing for the last 11 years is presenting these issues, not so much the metaphysical, we've only been doing that for 4 or 5 years, but we've been bringing up the alternatives to the nightmare that we've been seeing. We've done 10 documentaries. We've done 1,000 broadcasts on commercial radio and about 500 broadcasts on Blog Talk here. But what we're doing is trying to create, you know, bring these things to people's attention.
I think that's your role, and I think you're right. I think it's extremely important. We need to have people who are going to really report what's actually happening and to do it without a lot of falderon, without bias. And I appreciate so much hearing what you guys have had to say. I just think it's important that not everybody is going to be able to do that. But I think everybody can affect change in their daily life, in their immediate environment. And if everybody took personal responsibility, you know, these things, I'd like to think, would not happen to the level that they're happening. That's my only input.
Could I just, Christy?
The only thing I can respond to that is I agree with you in that I think everyone should commit to living the day that they have in the moment and live the best possible way that they can. But it's not wise to stick your head in the sand and pretend that everything is happening the right way, because it just isn't.
George. George can tell you that I'm the last person that's sticking my head in the sand. I'm in the trenches every day.
God bless you, dear. She has, and she will, and she's got a beautiful heart. Thank you, dear, for being you.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
I think, and first of all, it's not a matter of judging people other than acknowledging, you know, their pain or their suffering or their laughter for what it is, and, you know, not to take it personally other than to have some compassion or share that compassion, and that's all that's needed to connect you know, human, our human nature one on one, and we don't have to identify with, you know, what our background is, religious, family, or otherwise. And,
right.
You know, that's the problem right now. We think too much. What we have to do is feel.
That's exactly
Thank
right.
You.
Your personal responsibility, don't forget, you base those decisions and those choices on the information available to you. And so
right.
much of it is misinformation and programmed information and outdated and worn out information as well. Until we're able to get our emotions in there to balance with our intellect so that we have a feeling for what's right and wrong. I don't believe that people in the past have really understood right and wrong. And that's what's changing today.
Well, I think we each have an unconscious ability. I think if we are listening, we all know intuitively what is right and wrong. The problem is we get distracted and taken away from that by outside forces. So I agree with you, and yet I disagree with you. And I think that we're all extremely capable if we will just allow ourselves to do that. I have great faith in human beings, as George has said, and as you all have said. I think we all agree on that.
Well, I have one barometer that I use, and it's something that I've learned over years to play with and understand. I sleep good at night. What
yeah.
I mean by that, when I go to bed, I don't take my worries of the day to bed with me. You know, I don't talk behind people's backs. I don't worry about who's going to sneak in the back door. You know, I sleep very good at night, and that is my barometer. If I can't, I take notice of what's going on in my life and what's around me, and you know, I question that. But my intent is from my heart, not from my head.
There you go. Thank you, everybody. I'm enjoying the show. Keep doing this, please.
Oh, we will.
Thank you, dear. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you. I have to
Good
hang
morning.
Up, and I will keep listening.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you, Christy.
I'll be with you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. And, but no, I think Christy was right on about that. You gotta do that. You gotta go with your heart. But
yeah.
And your
intention. Be the best person you can
but,
be.
But personally, I think the major problem, the reason people don't do this, because they live in such a vast denial. Okay, they're constantly in denial, and they're believing everything, you know, that they're saying, that they're told, and you know, by the government or by the news media, and it's like they don't question. Like Lila's constantly would say, you know, you become a Democrat or a Republican because you know you don't want to think. You know, okay, it sounds good. So they do all the thinking. You become a Catholic or a Protestant or an evangelist or whatever you become. Because that sounds right to you, and you don't have to think anymore. All right, just become it, and you know. So, all of these things are so well compartmentalized, okay, in our society that all you have to do is merge into sign up to one of them, and you know, sit
don't
back and all you got to do is vote once a year, you know. So it's like, or go to church on Sunday, or you know, whatever you
and
do.
And you get through the pearly gate.
And yeah, exactly. You're guaranteed to go to heaven, or you're
get a seat in the front.
Yep, and sing the hymns. So it's like,
well,
you know, these
my
are, these
all
are the...
of that because you see, my heaven is not at the end of my life. My
right,
heaven
right.
is a journey there, and believe me, in the last 10 years, I've had a journey that I can only say has been heavenly. And I want to thank you guys also for being part of that, a big part of that. And Rod, you wouldn't believe where I live. In the log cabin house I live into, and my spread of my two pugs that Lila and Leo have seen. Rod is an old friend from Long Island, and we used to share a lot of good times together, and powwows in a sense where I think I sat down with Mother Grandma one time. I forget her name.
Grandmother Kitty.
Well, Kitty, right. And just listening to the stories, you know, and it's great because Rod has got a love and part of his native American background has always been warm in my heart and also touches with part of my initiation out in Arizona. But that's a different story. But we can go back a little bit there, Rod.
Well, it's a blending of a lot of philosophies and ideas, and for the last 50 or 60 years, I've been putting them all together and find out they're all saying the same thing. But I'm also finding out that they're saying now.
Yeah.
Up until this point, it's been soon, soon, coming, but it's now, now.
It is now.
And
how
it's
do you
wonderful.
Feel this, Rod? How do you feel and see it in your life and your experiences out there in Texas?
Well, Texas is a little bit of a problem because Texas is not like most places. It thinks of itself as another country, you know.
George Bush came from there, didn't he?
Well,
no,
interesting news about Mr. Bush. His new neighbors, they discovered, have all leased properties around his house so they can grow marijuana. They're all grow houses from the Mexican cartel. That was on the news tonight.
Really?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but...
The Bush family are huge drug people. I mean, they Bush Senior was the genius behind the whole opium CIA drug.
He's responsible
movement.
For.
Yeah, he was the brains behind
Corbett
it.
Corbett Walker Bush.
Yeah, the whole offshore oil cartel thing. The offshore shell.
You want to sidetrack everybody now, please?
But to get back to it. The reason I think it's changing now is because people who, when I came to Texas about 20 years ago, people that you couldn't speak to, that were so judgmental and so standoffish and so Texan, are now searching. They're looking for answers. They're panicked, and they're willing to share ideas. They're not willing to listen to nonsense and have you tell them what to think. But they are willing to hear new ideas, and that is a big change in the world.
What brought you to Texas?
Well, my mother and father relocated here from Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And my father had ill health, and my job ended in New York, and I was injured. And I come to help to Texas to recover and to change my life. I got out of corporate business politics and become a farmer rancher.
Wow.
And just had a lifestyle change in general. And basically...
Now, some very interesting people from Texas. One of them is...
Tex Mars. A brilliant guy who I truly admire.
Do you know of him?
No, I don't.
Yeah, do you know Jim Mars?
Jim Mars, the author?
The Alien Agenda, Rule of Secrecy.
I probably own the book, but the name doesn't stick yet.
He wrote the Crossfire, the JFK assassinations.
I own the book.
Jim is. I've had him on the show.
He's a brilliant guy.
Brilliant writer, but he the Alien Agenda, which is one of his all time bestseller. He said it's. I think it's been translated into 200. It's been translated
many languages.
In 25 or 30 languages now.
Yeah.
And he was telling me the a year or so ago. And but that was the best. Recently he came out with Terror Inside Job and then the Terror Conspiracy. And he's a very prolific writer and journalist. And he's from Texas. And this guy Tex Mars, who runs the he's been
Power
on our show. Power of Prophecy.
Power of Prophecy Ministry.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with him?
No. I'll tell you, Texas is so conservative until you get to Austin. You can't even get a good program on the radio.
Yeah.
On
Alex
public
Jones.
Radio.
Have you heard Alex Jones?
Yeah, I know Alex Jones.
I don't
know him personally, but I listen to him when I'm in Austin, but you don't get him in Dallas. There is no progressive radio in Dallas except maybe on the internet.
Wow.
Really?
He's on shortwave, too.
My shortwave burned out, but every time we get a progressive station, a Christian station takes over soon after that. They're bought out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
We've had several.
You know what happened to us up here is we were on this progressive station, and it was independent.
a local radio station.
For eight years, we were on this station, and we're a very progressive, liberal talk show, and in a conservative market area. And we they sold to NPR. They sold their frequency. They leased it out to NPR just now, just this week.
For 5 years.
Our final broadcast of 8 years on that show, on that station. Now it's a national petroleum radio, you know. So
we have that, some of that going on down here, and NPR is buying stations up and broadcasting progressive music. But what it amounts to is the voices being silenced, and NPR seems to be a co-conspirator.
They're so bought out, you wouldn't believe NPR.
We
have 3 NPR stations in this area. 3.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Got one in upstate New York and...
One in Sharon, Connecticut, which is the town next door. And now this one that's bought up our frequency here is out of Bridgeport, Connecticut, that area.
They're run by a Jesuit university, for crying out loud. So it's like, you know, which is it's like the whole nightmare is upon us. I can see it, you know.
No voices.
And the voices are silenced, and the milk toast voice of NPR is
prevailing.
Is pushing this. What they call progressive, but it's really,
it's the same old story, fear and gloom.
They're
trying to scare you into submission, and they're trying to make you, you know, they want you to think about nothing but the economy.
Right.
And they wanted
right.
you to think about contributing to the economy. This storm that has hit Dallas during the Super Bowl has devastated Dallas and the economy. And in turn, it has devastated a good part of the plans of the country. I think you've got trucks on the highways that can't deliver their goods. I think they said there's 400 people in the Dallas bus station. They've been down there for 4 years because there's no hotels because everybody's in Super Bowls.
Oh, my.
It's just the dog chasing its tail, and it's all about money.
Yep.
And nobody is thinking about the people and the human element. And it's
the news is
too much. They can't cover it up.
How about the city of Detroit? In order to save money, they're not giving heat to the homeless shelters anymore.
Yeah, they stopped that. They were giving half a million. Last year they gave $500,000. This year they cut it out. And now it's one of the coldest years on record in Detroit, as well as everywhere. And,
you know, folks, I have something that's going to save us.
What's that?
I have something that's going to save us.
What's that?
If you take a look at the weather and what's been going on, there's a lot of people out there that's doing a lot of praying. I mean, they're praying, because their lives have turned upside down, and they got 20 degrees below zero behind their back. So I'm saying that a lot of people are going to be crying for help. And I think what it's going to do, it's going to bring that relief for us. And I think Mother Nature is the one I'm worried about doing a sin, in a sense. But I think, if nothing else, Mother Nature is bringing us together. And more so than it has been. And, you know, take a look at 9/11, if nothing else. The good aspects of that, it shook us to the bones. And reminded us that we're all human. We all have feelings. So if nothing else, I think it's the prayer of the nation that's going to do it.
But the result of that, George, was not a positive
result.
The result of that was
total repression and total oppression.
And then
you're right.
We retaliated against innocent people.
Right.
We massacred people. We're terrorists, George.
And then we went into Iraq for no damn reason whatsoever. And then we went into...
That was horrible.
Afghanistan to retaliate against a little
bunch of villages,
stupid country, and some little jackass Al Qaeda, which was a CIA operative anyway. All right, you know, the whole thing was a false flag operation, and we know that. Okay, we
am
we
I my brother's
that.
Keeper?
I believe, but the problem, but what happened in 9/11 was it caused this draconian system, okay, which I fought against for the last 10 years. All right, you know, on radio and television, and called Bush every son of a bitch name that there was. Okay, and this regime. All right, and you know, people fought me and people fought us, we prevailed and we proved the system to be what it was, okay, a crooked, miserable system, all right? And now it's just being, it's even more so with Napolitano going into Walmart, okay, and security cameras everywhere and telling, you know, and it is, you know, pimping around, saying that, you know, snooping around in everybody's house and garbage and, you know, and so on, you know. Tipsters, and they call them. And,
see, Leo, I have to break in.
Hear what you say, that 9/11 brought anybody together. It brought nobody together. It made everybody stupid. All right.
No, you're
else.
Wrong there, Leo. You're wrong there.
All right, and afraid. All right.
And
which is exactly what it was meant to do.
And we massacred innocent people. Americans massacred innocent people.
And that guy and that clown, that idiot George W. Bush, went from a 20% rating where they wanted to impeach the bastard. All right, in 2001. And after 9/11, all right, everyone gave him a 90% approval rating, and he wound up cruising through eight more years as a president. I mean,
yeah, but we got to put that to sleep, Leo.
That was childish. It was the same damn thing, you know, the Reichstag when they burned it down. I mean, it did the same thing, and put Hitler in as chancellor, for crying out loud. I mean, these are the things that, you know.
You can't ignore history.
History.
No, you can't change it either.
People who don't see it are in complete and absolute denial. All right.
But I don't think that they're denying not seeing it, Leo. But what do you do?
Are you kidding? Do you know how many fights I've gotten into verbal fights on radio and face to face with people over that issue? All right, and I still do. People are stupid enough to think that 9/11 really was caused by, you know, some clown in a cave. It's totally mind-boggling. Okay, and the thing is, all right, all the evidence points. You got 5,000 architects and engineers that have put their careers on the line and have come out and said it is absolutely impossible to believe the government explanation for 9/11 and for the toppling of the World Trade Center. 5,000 of them.
Right? Leo, I'm saying everything you're saying to somebody on a speakerphone. There's a lot of clicking on the line.
Yeah,
you know. You're right about the bad things that came out of that, and we did go to war, and a lot of people have died, yes. But I'm referring to the good aspect of what good came out of that.
George, you have to say it right. We Americans massacred innocent people as a result.
It was an absolute genocide.
It was a genocide.
Iraqis. Not only that, between Afghanistan and Iraq, for the next 25,000 years, We have poisoned that country with depleted uranium. I mean, have you seen the horrible? They have the high. Those two countries have the
Leo,
highest.
Leo, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, Leo.
And they're going to. And our soldiers that are coming back have these horrible diseases and mental diseases and everything. I mean, George, that 9/11 was the worst damn thing that could have happened to this country. And it was perpetrated by assholes like Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney
Can I rephrase myself?
Yeah, you'll have to rephrase yourself. Go ahead.
Okay. I was glad that, knowing that with all things, you have positive and negative, good and bad. So what I'm saying is that, yes, there was a lot of bad that came out of 9/11, without a doubt. But understand that it has its good aspects also. And I can't sit here and deny that there wasn't good aspects. There was. I seen it in the sense of how us Americans, how we came together, and, I mean, the firemen and the police and the lives that were lost, you know, understand, I'm a New York boy, and I was there when it happened, but I was just a few miles from there. But, you know, it opened a lot of hearts and a lot of love. And it's something we needed.
Yeah, 2 days after, it was okay to breathe, according to Christy Todd Whitman, a New Jersey. Where was she from?
New Jersey.
You're right, Leo. You're right. But a lot of good came out of that.
Yeah, I mean, she's a wicked human being.
I'll give you this, George. A lot of individuals were very heroic and did wonderful things.
Over 10,000 first responders are sick.
But they were treated very poorly, and they're paying for it.
Yeah, because Rudy Giuliani said you cannot wear respirators, okay, on that job site. Rudy Giuliani, okay.
I know. But look, what can you do about it now? What good is it sitting and poking your finger or pointing your finger at somebody? There's nothing that can be done. It's over with. So let's move on. Let's move on.
Because he's going to run for president, George.
That guy's got enough balls to think he can run for president after he murdered 10,000 freaking first responders and how many other, how much involvement he had in 911 himself, okay?
Look, I'd worry about getting through the day instead of getting through waiting for the elections to come.
If I could say something.
That's criminal.
That's why you can't pretend that these things don't happen. Yes, there were some individuals who were very brave, like the first responders, and I don't know what I'd do without good policemen and good firemen. They take care of ordinary people like myself. They're wonderful.
And they were out there on the
scene, and they were very heroic.
Yeah.
But
Leo?
They were abused by these people and manipulated, and that's wrong. And we need to say that.
Yeah.
And we need to say that because you don't want people like Rudy Giuliani being president of this country.
Or you don't want another damn George Bush or another damn,
And American...
Rod wanted to say something.
What I wanted to say is what you guys are discussing is the problem, but it is not the solution. While you focus your attention on what you're talking about and you're all right and you all have your valid points, your mind can only be pointed in one direction at a time. And while you're focused on those things, those terrible, terrible things, you're not focused on the solution, which is probably that ninth wave that you're talking about. Isn't that right, George?
There it is, my friend. Yeah. Because
I'd love to see that. But in that ninth wave, is there justice? Will there be justice? I mean, will I be able to...
Well, look,
the justice
what's going
exists
on.
Now. You well, just don't identify it as justice. It's the only justice available with the choices we make.
Strung up by his testicles over the Empire State Building.
But take a look at the banking system, Leo. It's all collapsing, my friend.
Justice there. These guys are sitting back on $100 billion in bonuses. I mean, it's like, give me a break.
And that's gone out of the news. The way politicians want to save money is that they blame Pete, the poor person that's on welfare. You got to cut his money because that's what caused the problem with the economy.
You can't have any kind of health care because
it's too expensive. But
when the CEO of a major insurance company is walking away with $100 million bonus, all right, or a billion dollars. One clown from one of the major insurance companies is getting $1.1 billion on a golden parachute.
That's what he got. Can you imagine that?
What the hell is going on?
He made money on the illness, denying claims to people who were catastrophically ill, the children.
I want to let our audience know
that we're going to be leaving. We're going to be leaving the air soon, and if they want to continue on, they can call at the number that's at the top of the page.
Yeah, it's called 1646.
And join us, because we want to continue on and talk.
Yeah, we got a few. We will still be archived. I hope you stay with us.
Anyway, George, please.
If anybody wants to contact me, I wanted to leave my email. It's brotherdickson@aol.com. That's brother DICKSON@AOL.com. So if you would like to contact her and ask me any questions, feel free to email me.
So talk a little bit about the ninth wave, George, before we say goodnight tonight.
Well, Hold on, please.
Q is going to say something about silicon intelligence or silicon life also. George, do you have time for both?
I was really curious to hear.
Sure, we do.
Get information on the ninth wave forever, but he keeps. But each show we just get to the ninth wave, and we never get a chance to understand what the hell it is. So please explain it to us, George.
Well, it's a time of the unity consciousness that clicks in. We talked about the right brain and the left brain.
Yeah.
We've gone through the experiences the day cycles by taking it a year for each wave, right brain, left brain. So now what we're doing is that we're coming to a point where we're bringing them together in unity together. And this is combining the right and left brain together.
Mm-hmm.
What's with the co-creation? I'm trying to figure this one out, because if the ninth wave is leading us into that period, and that period starts in March, then where does that leave us? I mean, with this co-creation thing, what does that really what is that?
How is that going to look? How is that going to be?
It's scary because, you know, if we want to go back to the last unity consciousness we experienced, we were just coming out of after the fall, and really we were just survivors or barbarians. In fact, it took us about 15,000 years to stop eating one another because what happened is that we went into a unity consciousness to survive. And since then, we reverted back over to thinking with our brain. But you see, it was an inside source. So we went through the seventh wave, which was going to the right brain, the left brain, the sixth wave was the left brain, then the seventh brain was to make ready for the eighth wave, which was the right brain, and that started in 99, which is going to end in March 9th, and then we will combine the right brain and the left brain together as the eagle of the soul, if you want to call it that. It's like we can control the unity consciousness where we couldn't control it on the first wave, the fifth wave. And it's like the aborigines or ants or insects, in a sense. They're all connected to a unity source or the queen, telepathically, if you want to call it that.
Let me ask you this. If we understand unity consciousness, or what you're saying, all right, everybody thinking alike and everybody coming together in some...
Moving together.
Then what does that mean? Right now...
Sounds like mind control.
No, but listen. Now that you're seeing all of the Middle East on fire, you're seeing it all in revolution and more and more every day, all right? You're seeing all of Europe up in arms. I mean, France, Germany, Spain, there are riots, everything, England. There are still riots out there.
But they're not telling us about it.
The news media is not covering it. Okay, alternative news, you know, special people, special news groups are getting it out on YouTube and Facebook and stuff and places like that. But, you know, the mainstream media has stopped covering. They didn't even cover them to begin with. But there are major riots in France, major riots in England, and major riots in Germany and in Spain.
And
right?
in Greece,
all right, and in Ireland. All right, but we're not seeing that. So,
you're right, Leo. Rod, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I had some things to say about the unity consciousness.
Okay.
And the co-creation especially. The unity is not one mind for all people. It's the individual being united in his emotional and spiritual aspects so that he is balanced. But the unity is one perspective. We're all looking at the same central goal, seeing it from, imagine how many points you would have on a unisphere staring at the center.
Mm-hmm.
You all have a single unity have a unique perspective, which makes you're part of the whole, and yet you're an individual.
What is this? What are we supposed to be focusing on?
Well, you're focusing on what you choose to focus on. That's the difference in the co-creation aspect of it.
Your intent,
co-creation, we have always been co-creators, but we have been co-creating in a subconscious mind. There's an old teaching about the idea of deja vu.
Yeah.
It says that originally you think an idea and it occurs on the astral plane and you formulate it. And then it combines with everything else and finally it manifests on the physical plane. And you don't even recognize it because it has been altered or changed. But occasionally it happens exactly as you formulated it in the beginning. And at that instant, you experience déjà vu because you recognize what you thought with what you see. I hope that...
Nicely put.
I think that if I said it right.
You did, my friend, you did. Rod, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, the world is going so fast. And remember what the elders said. When things start moving fast around you, you close your shutters in your house. And you let the outside pass you by because it's going to go so fast, you don't want to get dragged into it. But you live your life, you instruct your family into your ways. Your ways don't have to, they don't have to be the same as what's outside. But if you hold your intent, you'll never go wrong.
I agree with that. Grandmother Kitty used to say,
you can't push the river. My only question. Or argument against that is that if you close your shutters, it doesn't stop the tornado, okay? It doesn't stop the hurricane, and it doesn't stop the snowstorm, all right? But it will tear off your roof, tear off your shutters, blow down your door, and blow up your house. Okay, if you're not, you can't just close the shutters and it goes away.
It will protect you from the storm so that you survive to do it differently next time.
Oh, you hope so, but not really. I mean, a lot.
No, Leo, it's not, because you see, this takes it to another level. By doing that, you are holding on to that reality and holding it together. So you are the weaver of what you live in and what you see in the outside. It's your field, and it's yours to command. And that basically is the field that we're going into. But right now, you just got to hold on, hold your reins. Otherwise, don't let your horses get away from you. And that's the problem. And we just have to remember where we came from and remember our intent. And if we go with our heart, we'll never go wrong. Well, this is my belief, and that's a Christian belief.
Yeah. I don't
disagree with that. I think you should lead with your heart. I agree with that choice.
And not have any fear and have, you know, they don't have faith. But
I also believe you shouldn't put blinders on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, George, and I know it because I kind of learned this from you. But last month when I was sitting in the hospital there for 2 weeks, close to death, I realized that I kept focusing on focusing on, like Lila said, think pink, you know? And I kept
regenerating skin.
Regenerating my body and regenerating that and focusing on that. And even though no matter what the pain was or what the system was or whatever was going on, I kept focused
but
I was all right.
But in order to do that...
I was all right. And within a couple of weeks, I became
In order to do that, you had to screen out everything else.
Really?
And just concentrate on that one thing. He couldn't think about politics. He couldn't watch television. He couldn't read. He couldn't do anything.
Actually, I kind of read... The one thing I read, which was a book that you gave me, George, to read, and it was on the Wheel of Life. And it talked about the chakras. It talked about how to heal the chakras. And my chakra was in the base chakra, and it was like I had to think that way. And after reading that about it, I was able to tune my subconscious into that mode. And regardless of what my conscious was thinking or doing, my subconscious was, you know, understood and absorbed that information about healing that chakra or that area. And it did. And in fact, I was at a doctor today, and she said surgeon that did the work, and she says, I can't believe how fast you've healed. And she said, I can't believe. She says, miraculous. She actually said, this is miraculous. And because it's been only, about 3 weeks, since I've been out. 4 weeks? 3 weeks?
Let's see.
3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, you've been out of the hospital 3 weeks, and you were in there over 2 weeks.
Yeah, and, it just was like, it just healed right up.
But I
was just amazed. So that what you're saying is definitely true, and what you're saying by concentrating or at least subconsciously absorbing that thought so that it continually affects the body, and then you can deal with the consciousness because, consciousness is fleeting.
But in order to accomplish that, you have to let go of everything else.
I did.
Do you think that's true, George?
Well, when you say let go, I wouldn't even go there and say let go. Just drop it from the memory.
Yeah.
My grandmother always said, "Let go and let God."
There you go.
When you're overwhelmed.
That was really it.
Yeah, you just have to let go and focus on being healthy and healing, and believe in a positive way. Because I think.
Well, see now, if you ask for healing. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is that you're not 100%.
Right.
You understand? So you're saying you're negating yourself because you're asking for us to be healed, and yet you can't because you're not.
Well, you're focusing on your body doing that for you. That you want to focus on that, and you think about. That's why I said to Leo, think of something like think pink. Those new cells, they're pink and pristine and healthy. I said, get that image in your mind and just sort of keep it there and kind of kickstart your body by focusing on it. That's in thinking success, because unless you think success, it won't happen.
That's true.
Well, I don't think nothing less than success. But you know
Go ahead.
I think my success though, water is the trick, and that's where I put my focus.
Think works for you.
Yeah. But I think in understanding water, I could understand a lot of the basics of three-dimensional reality. Rod, you still there?
Yeah, water is an element. It is also the universal solvent.
There you go. Yeah, you're right. But, I wanted to talk, and we will talk, about different life forms, and if nothing else, we've hit upon crystal life forms, or actually being introduced to silicone and to crystals. And that was the last century here with communication.
I was going to say that my first introduction to crystals was they were crystals and radios.
Yep. Well, it's all the same, but if nothing else, we are acclimating it into our life and into our consciousness. Now, in understanding we have a GPS system that connects with satellites and blah, 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 we're coming to a point with nanotechnology where we have computer chips inside of our body, and they're part of our physical, they become part of our physical matter, our makeup. So,
Where are the computer chips in our body?
Excuse me?
You said we have computer chips in our bodies?
That's right. Well, we use those, like nanotechnology. We can go in there and actually work on proteins and alter proteins for the DNA. And it's through this nanotechnology that it became open knowledge, and I think that was on the sixth day. That was part of the technology from the sixth day experience.
Right.
So, well, you know, I think we're being acclimated.
What are we going to see now?
George, is there any possibility that a silicon life form, though, could become confused and integrate with a silicon chip and turn a computer on?
Well, Leo Rod, there is silicon life, and we've identified that, and it's a worm, and we found it in the Pacific Ocean. So, you know, as a three-dimensional type being, there is such a thing. And of course, carbon-based is what we're based on.
Well, they're saying everything is carbon-based here. It's life.
Yeah.
And now you're saying silicon is life, and that kind of adds to the problem.
Okay.
So where
then,
are these silicon worms?
In the Pacific.
Where are these silicon worms?
In the Pacific Ocean.
So
they're microorganisms. They start out microorganisms, I think, with a volcanic plume that comes out under the oceans.
There's also,
they're in the ring of fire.
I brought this up to you before recently.
Yeah, part.
But there's also an organism that eats arsenic. All right, and creates these. Like rocks, basically. They're our form of bacteria, but it actually exists on arsenic, okay?
Oh.
And it creates these unusual, strange shell-like. Almost like, you know, like how coral creates coral, you know, these large reefs. Well, these things actually create like stones, like strange stones.
Where
but,
are they?
But they eat arsenic. Okay, they're actually, I think they're in the southwest. I think is where I saw that. And they're along some lake, along the lakes,
yeah,
of some sort. But they actually eat arsenic. And,
Leo.
Which is a foreign. I mean, this thing. I mean, nothing that we know can eat. Nothing that we know as a life form that we
could
are
eat
familiar
it.
With. Okay, could eat arsenic. Okay, but this thing.
George, I'm gonna have to go. It's been nice talking to you guys this evening. I really enjoyed this, but I need to get going here.
All right.
Well, thanks for jumping on with
me.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for telling us about Texas. I hope the ice storm clears up.
We've got another one coming tomorrow or on Super Bowl Sunday, and another one Wednesday.
Oh, my.
I hope you can join us again.
It was really nice talking with you.
Well, it's nice talking to you, and you all just stay well. Adios.
I'll be with you, my friend.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I really enjoyed
Your
George.
Yes,
yeah.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, Rod and I go back, an old friend of mine. But, you know, wanted to answer the question about the crystal life forms. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago about in the inner earth, these are crystal life forms. I've talked about crystals over the years, and
right.
I've always said that crystals were alive, did I not?
Yes.
Understand, yes, that crystals grow over a period of time. They change into different shapes, and part of that was sacred geometries and, you know, I've talked about the different platonic solids. You know, these crystals will take different shapes throughout its lifetime. So, you know, if nothing else, it is a life form that grows on this earth. And even though it's a rock, but understand, it is a life form in a different sense. So if nothing else, if you can identify with that, then you can identify the understanding or the hallucination or the imagination of believing that there are crystal beings inside the inner earth who've taken a crystal-type shape as their physical properties, and yet they glow as if they're a lava, and probably a couple thousand degrees. And these are a living form that once were on the outer earth. So I'll leave you with that.
That's amazing.
And look, let's talk. Let's pick up from there next time, don't you think?
Sounds good.
More about that. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, we're living in some interesting times, Lila.
Oh, we sure are.
Yeah.
George.
And I'm so glad that we didn't end this, my dear. You know, there's a reason for everything. I do believe that.
I didn't think I. That's why I kept it on, George, because I couldn't leave it. I couldn't let it go. So it wasn't supposed to go. So.
And we want to thank Rod, and we want to thank Christy for calling.
Yeah, very.
Yes.
And of
thank you, Christy.
Of course, we thank you, George, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
I want to thank everybody else for this tonight, and. Again, join us well, we're at the end of the week. But by the way, everybody, please join us Tuesday night when we start we have our 2-hour format program, and we have a number of guests joining us then.
And we'll have our regular guest at 8:30, which will be our special guest. At 9 o'clock, we'll have In the Ring with Woody, and at 9:30, we'll have John Brennan and his chemtrails and environmental stuff. So
right.
I think you'll find it interesting
and
fascinating.
And in between there will be alternative news, health,
a little tiny music break.
Yeah, and possibly music.
And you'll
break.
Probably catch me on there, too.
Oh, possibly. Okay. Yeah, we'll have you as a call in there. So anyway, George, it's been a pleasure.
God be with you, and thank you, guys.
Okay. Right. Night.
Good night, George.
Good night now.
And I want to, buddy, wish you a pleasant evening and a good weekend. Don't forget, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, right here, the LA Stove Show.